Sarah's Bookshelves Live. I'm Sarah of the blog Sarah's Bookshelves. Each week, I'm talking with one bookish guest about two old books they love, two new books they love, one book they don't love, and one new release they're excited about. We're going to get real and sometimes a bit snarky about all things books. If you like the show, I'd really love your support. Spread the word to your reader friends, subscribe to the show, rate and review it wherever you listen to podcasts, or get bonus podcast episodes by supporting the podcast on Patreon. There's a link in the show notes and in my Instagram bio to my Patreon page. Let's get rolling. Hey, everyone. Welcome to a mini episode of Sarah's Bookshelves Live. These episodes feature book bloggers or Instagrammers or regular readers that apply to be on the show, and they focus solely on book recommendations in 20 minutes or less. Today, we have Lindsay Creech with us. She is a high school Spanish teacher and a pastor's wife living in North Carolina with her husband and puppy. She started a book club in Raleigh with six women who started out as strangers and have become close friends. And this book club includes Hannah from the Instagram account Book Nerd Native. And she actually was a guest on episode 12 of the podcast, so you might remember her. Lindsay also started a book club with her students at her high school, where she teaches. And she is a patron of the show. I'm thrilled to have our first patron on, and she got bumped to the top of the waiting list to come on the show as part of the bonus goodies that you get when you become a patron of the show. And if you would like to become a patron, there is a link in the show notes and also in my Instagram bio. Welcome, Lindsay.
Hey, Sarah. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. I love it when things come full circle. So I love that we had Hannah on a while back, and now you're on. So tell us a little bit about your reading taste.
In general, I have always really loved to read. I had my own little library when I was a girl because I was an only child. So that's how I stayed busy and entertained myself, was through reading. And my mom even, this is kind of a funny story, she got me stickers that said from the library of Lindsay, and it had my address that I would put in all of my books.
Oh, that's adorable.
It was until whenever I would finish reading books and be ready to donate them or get rid of them, she would donate them to the local thrift store. And then at Christmas time or my birthday, I opened up books that she had got me as presents, and she didn't even realize they were my books from the past year or so because they still had my sticker in them.
No way. That is hilarious. Oh, man. So what does she think about that now? Did you tell her, or did you kind of play it off like you were surprised?
Yeah. I opened the cover and was like, Mom, I've already read this, and it literally came from this house.
Oh, that is hilarious. I love that.
So now, growing up and living in the South, I really love Southern literature, especially books set in Charleston or the Low Country. So books by like Dorothea Benton Frank or Mary Alice Monroe, Karen White, authors like that. And then I've really realized now through book clubs, even book clubs like Spivey's Book Club or Book of the Month, I really love character-driven books more so than plot-driven books. Some of the books I've chose today are more character-driven than plot-driven.
Got it. So do you have to like your characters to like the book?
I don't think I care about that, but I tend to like those characters. I'm thinking books like The Heart's Invisible Furies or South of Broad.
Oh, yes.
Books like that. I liked those characters in the book, so I think that helped. I don't know that I've read one yet that I haven't liked those characters.
The characters in Heart's Invisible Furies were so wonderful. I loved that book so much. And everyone knows I love Pat Conroy, too, although South of Broad was not my favorite of his. Soft spot for him.
That is the only one that I've read so far of Pat Conroy.
Oh my gosh, you have so much in store for you. I'm so excited for you. That was his least favorite of mine. It's only going to go up from there.
Well, good.
So let's get into your book recommendations. As usual, Lindsay is going to tell us about two old books she loves, two new books she loves, one book she does not love, and one upcoming release that she's excited about. Tell me about the first old book you love.
So the first old book that I love was The Beach House by Mary Alice Monroe. And that is actually a series, but the first book can be a standalone. You don't have to read the other four, but I recommend reading them because you fall in love with the story and the characters. And that one is about Cara, who has grown up in Charleston in the Low Country, but she left that lifestyle to go towards Chicago into a city life. But as adulthood gets harder and harder and things happen with her job, she ends up moving back home to the beach house on the Isle of Palms with her mother. It rebuilds her relationship with her mother and her family. She finds love, and she really just finds her true self as well. This book is what helped start my love for Southern literature and Charleston and the Low Country.
I feel like a lot of Southern books have that plot of this one. Like somebody grows up in the South, they leave, they encounter some difficulty in their life, and then they end up coming back to the South as a comfort thing. And then the story kind of takes place there and works on them rebuilding themselves. Do you feel that way?
I do. I've seen that a lot in some of the books that I've read. And it also feels a lot like a Hallmark movie. And this one was just made into a Hallmark movie this past year or 2 years ago with Andie MacDowell and Minka Kelly from Friday Night Lights.
Oh, yes.
So anyone who loves a good Hallmark movie, watch this, but read the book first.
So that was The Beach House by Mary Alice Munro, and that came out back in 2002. One more question about that one that had just occurred to me. So you said that could be read as a standalone. Does that mean that it does not end on a cliffhanger where you have to continue to find out what happens?
I don't remember it doing so.
Okay.
I think you're okay just reading that one.
I just say that because I just read the first book in a new series and it ended on the biggest cliffhanger. And so I'm dying to see what happens and I have to wait a year for the next book to come out.
That's how I am with one series, too. I wonder if it's the same one.
American Royals?
Yes.
Yep. It's that one. I got to the end. I was like, what? Oh, my God. I can't believe I have to wait till fall of 2020 for this. But it was so good. I loved it. I'm willing to wait. It's fine.
Absolutely. It's one of my favorite books of this year.
Yeah. I was headed into a reading slump. And then I picked up that. And it definitely put a stop to my reading slump. All right. Tell us about the second new book you love.
This book that I'm going to talk about now is definitely your book to cozy up during this winter when it starts getting chilly. And that is the Winter Street series by Ellen Hildebrand. And this is perfect for anyone who is needing to get a few books done to finish up their goal on Goodreads or by the end of 2019. Because they are quick and they're sweet and easy to read for that busy time of the year. And this is the story of a family, the O'Quinns. They own a inn in Nantucket, and they have four adult children. And so this book splits up and kind of takes a chapter with each character of this family. You see their points of view throughout the whole book, but they have all sorts of personal dramas. Kelly, who is the father and owner of this inn, has just walked in on his wife kissing Santa Claus. That is not a spoiler. That is on the back of the book, I promise. But it's just a good lighthearted family drama that makes you want to go travel to this inn in Nantucket and just spend your Christmas with them.
Can you believe I've never read Ellen Hildebrand before?
That hurts my heart.
No, I don't know why. It hasn't even been a conscious decision. I just haven't picked it up or haven't picked her up. But I do feel like she's been on my radar screen more this year because she's had a fair number of books as Book of the Month picks.
Right.
Not part of the Winter Street series, but Summer of 69 and then her new winter books that actually take place down in the Caribbean. And people have really loved them.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to keep her in mind for the next time I need some sort of slump buster or I just can't concentrate very much on anything and I just need something that goes down easy.
Yes, you need to.
So that was the Winter Street series by Ellen Hildebrand. Tell us about the first new book you love.
So the first new book I love is The Most Fun I Ever Had by Claire Lombardo. There's a fun backstory to this. Hannah from Book Nerd Native, she got a message from Doubleday, who helped publish this book, and they asked if they could send us each a copy in book club, and they would provide questions, and they wanted to sponsor us to have a dinner with our book club night, so that way we would press this book out into the Bookstagram world and get it started, because it had just come out, and she's a debut author. So we all got a copy of this book, and had the most fun time. This was the book that had the most discussion with it of all the books that we've read so far this year. And we talk about it still. And that was back in July that we read this book. But we still talk about it when we get together because this book has just stuck with us.
I love that. I've never actually heard of a publisher sponsoring a book club dinner. That's great.
And we loved the book too, which helped, except for one girl in book club did not love it. But she is someone who's very plot driven, loves thrillers. She did not really connect with any of the characters.
Gotcha. So you said this caused the most discussion. What were you all's big discussion topics about this book without spoiling anything?
So the story, for those who haven't read it, it goes with the Sorensen family, and they have four adult daughters, and the parents have a super strong, loving marriage and relationship, even as they get older and older. And each daughter has their own story, and they all have their own point of view throughout the book as well. And they all have their own dramas and issues for sure. So when we talked about each character, We gave them what we thought their Enneagram number was.
Oh, no way. What's Wendy?
Oh, I can't remember. But Wendy was the most discussed in book club. Like, she is everyone's favorite, I think.
So I read this too, and I loved Wendy. She's sarcastic and cutting and tells it like it is, but she's also somebody that I would imagine not everyone is going to like.
Right.
So that's interesting that everyone in your book club did love her.
I mean, I didn't think I was going to love her as much when I first started the story because she's a little spicy and sassy, but you grow to really love her and see that she is trying to change, even though she makes some poor decisions throughout the book.
Just a few.
So most of us loved this book. It's definitely for anyone who loves a good family drama. If you have sisters, you might relate to one of them, but it is a long book. It's over 500 pages.
Yeah.
But it is beautifully written. And for her debut novel, we were really impressed.
So I read this one and I read it after it had really blown up on Instagram and so many people had rated it 5 stars. And I really liked it, but it didn't 5-star blow me away. I think it was because of the length. And when I read a long book, I can either feel the length or felt like I flew through it anyway. And for this one, I did feel the length. I was like, oh, this could be maybe 150 pages shorter. So that was why for me, it was 4, not 5 stars. I did really like it. I just wish it was maybe 150 pages shorter. And I read in the acknowledgments or the author's note that it was originally 900 pages.
Are you serious?
Yes. That would have been outrageous. So thank you, editors.
Absolutely. I originally gave it 4 stars as well. My thing was there were some scenes, especially with Wendy, that were a little spicier than I typically like or appreciate. And then there was a lot of language kind of between them in the conversation that I thought could have done without.
Yeah.
But then the book just kept sitting with me more and more. I finally was like, I think I need to change my mind to give it at least 4.5 or 5. That was one book that still I think about and think about those characters.
So this is really interesting that there were parts of this book that were too racy for you because of the book you're going to tell us about next.
Absolutely.
I'm actually surprised. Anyway, let's just get there. So that was The Most Fun We Ever Had by Claire Lombardo. It came out in June of this year, and it's gotten tons of hype over on Bookstagram. And if you love family dramas like I do, this is a good one. And you don't mind long books. All right, tell us about the second new book you love, and I think y'all will understand why I made the comment that I did when she says it.
So the next book is City of Girls by Elizabeth Gilbert.
Yes.
Which has been pretty hot this year as well. I, confession, did not like Eat, Pray, Love, so I was apprehensive about this one, but I did it as a book buddy read on Bookstagram. So I read it with another group of readers on Bookstagram. And this book is about Vivian Morris, who leaves college after a failed freshman year, and she moves to New York City to live with her aunt. And this is set in the 1940s. So she goes to live with her aunt in the Lilly Playhouse, where her aunt runs this kind of rundown, not very popular playhouse until they make it big with one specific play that just sets them off. This one is definitely character driven.
Yes.
So it starts in 1940 with Vivian moving to New York City and goes throughout her entire life until she is a elderly lady and she is telling her story of her life in New York City and all of the poor choices she makes throughout. She is a little sassy and spicy and she meets men and makes some poor decisions and choices throughout that. I loved this story. It reminded me of Lillian Boxfish Takes a Walk.
Oh my gosh, yes. I have that written in my notes.
I love Lillian. I kind of wish I talked about her, but I love that whole starting as a young child, going throughout their whole life and hearing their decisions and choices and their life. It reminded me of The Heart's Invisible Furies with that as well.
Okay, I have to read you word for word what's in my notes. It's like we share a brain right now. Here we go. Quote, loved the voice, parentheses, Heart's Invisible Furies, and Lillian Boxfish. And I totally agree. The tone was super fun and the setting was vibrant and the characters were vibrant. And the whole tone of the book reminded me of Lillian Boxfish and Heart's Invisible Furies. And City of Girls is told through this letter format that Vivian is writing as an elderly woman looking back on her life. So she's really reflecting on all the things she's done and kind of has that sense of perspective. And that's also what Lillian Boxfish does, is she walks around New York City. She's reflecting back on her life. And I love the fact that the story was not told in the moment, but rather with that perspective added on top of it. But it was 5 stars for me. So this, in contrast to The Most Fun We Ever Had, this was a book that I think was about the same length, but I flew through it and didn't feel the length at all.
Right. I did it through that buddy read, so it was kind of broken up throughout the whole month. There were times where I really wanted to read ahead.
Yep. And that's always a good sign when you want to skip ahead.
Absolutely.
And this book gets really racy, y'all. And that's why I was surprised that you loved this one, but thought certain scenes in The Most Fun We Ever Had were too racy.
It is. And I can't give an explanation. Like, I'm trying to sit here and think of why. But for some reason, I don't know what it is. Maybe it was because of the time and the decade. I don't know the way it was written. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily recommend it to everyone, but I really did enjoy it.
Just know going in that it's racy.
Yes.
So both the new books you shared are books that have kind of been everywhere this year, and a lot of people have read them and a lot of people love them. And I could not believe that when you emailed them to me, I had to go back and look at my spreadsheet. I'm like, surely someone's already shared these on the show, and no one had. Somebody did share City of Girls as their upcoming release before it came out, but that person had not actually read the book yet. So just y'all a little behind the scenes for a second. In those cases, I do have people talk about a book that's already been talked about because we add more perspective now that we've read it.
Right.
So let's talk about the book you did not love.
I hate doing this because I know you had the author on your podcast.
No, it's okay. Yeah, I was going to tell everyone. So I'll just go ahead. So y'all, this book, the author was a guest way back in episode 14. It was a long time ago. I did really like this book, but we can talk about it. And it was also recommended by Ashley Spivey in episode 8. So we're talking about it again because this is a different perspective than any way we've talked about it before. All right, tell us what it is.
It is Otherwise Engaged by Lindsay Palmer. And I hate that I'm doing this, especially because I usually like that genre of chick lit romance light reads. But for some reason, this one had me rolling my eyes a lot. So, brief description, Molly, her fiance, they just got engaged, is a writer, and he is writing his first novel, or it just came out and is being published. But it is pretty clear that it is about him and his ex-girlfriend and their story. And she's reading this book and she's reading parts of this book and realizing that this is about his ex-girlfriend, and it is, and she is just getting more and more upset and angry about it. And for me, that is why I just did not like it. I cannot take her whining a lot, it seemed to me. I hate saying that, but I had to look back kind of in my Bookstagram review of it, and I had said that I did not like the whining and the woe is me attitude of Molly.
Fair enough. So this is funny because the reason you did not like it is different from the reasons that I've heard a lot of other people haven't liked it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the other reasons I've been hearing are, in this book, actual excerpts of the book that Gabe wrote are in Otherwise Engaged. So like, we'll tell part of the story and then they'll actually put an excerpt of Gabe's book in there, and then they'll intersperse that with Molly's thoughts as she's reading Gabe's book. And the way that Gabe's book is written is very male, kind of chauvinist a little bit. Is that right?
Yeah, I would say so.
And so people really did not like the excerpts of Gabe's book. And I think Lindsay and I actually talked about this on our episode, that obviously that was intentional, right? That was supposed to be his writing style.
Right.
And that didn't bother me. And I loved reading Molly's excerpted thoughts as she's reading his book. That was one of my favorite parts of it. This is out of my wheelhouse. This is not something that normally I would love, but I don't know. I did like this one, and I enjoyed thinking about the impact of authors who incorporate a lot of their real lives into their fiction, and thinking about how that impacts their family and friends when they see or recognize themselves in a fictional book.
Right.
Kind of playing that out in my head.
Yeah. The only other thing I remembered is I read this past summer. And as a teacher, in the summertime, I'm off. And this is when I get the huge amount of my reading done. I can usually just fly through books during the summertime. And this one just dragged for me. And so that shows me that something's wrong with either me reading this book or the book to me, because I could not just fly through.
Yes, I totally agree. And I feel the same way. And y'all know I'm really quick to DNF books. So if I feel like I'm having to push through it, I put it down.
Right.
I've gotten some blowback about that from listeners, by the way.
Really?
Some people do not agree with the fact that I DNF so many books.
I've started DNFing more so, I think, this past year than I have in the past. I don't know if it's because of Bookstagram and because I'm trying to get to.
There's so many you want to read.
Right. It's not necessarily that I'm trying to hit my number goal. It's more so that I have so many books on my shelves and on my shelves of wanting to read on Goodreads that I want to focus on those books instead of trying to sit through one that's just not going well.
Right. And that's part of my reasoning as well. And I also feel like if I'm pushing myself through a book and I don't choose to put it down, it makes my reading life kind of not great.
I agree.
I want to love my reading life. All right. So that was Otherwise Engaged by Lindsay J. Palmer. And that came out in February of this year. And opinions are all over the place on this one.
I love Bybee's choices as well.
Yes.
I've kind of been in that group almost since the beginning, and it's helped me read a lot of, you know, new books that I would never have picked up before and actually loved, like The Night Circus. I never would have picked that up. It's one of my favorites.
Oh, she loves that book. I feel like that's one of her very favorites too.
It definitely is.
So tell me about the new release you're excited about.
So this new release is definitely a Southern read. It is Feels Like Falling by Christy Woodson Harvey. Christy is a North Carolina native. She lives in Beaufort, North Carolina, and I've seen her at a few book events, and it's turned into more of a friendship, which is really fun to me when an author becomes more of a friend.
Yes.
And so her new book comes out in April 28th of 2020, and it is set on the North Carolina coast. It is probably going to be the perfect beach read. It's about a story of friendship of two women who are complete opposite, but are both going through some hard times, and they really need each other. So they come together. I think it's going to be a great book about friendship and the South. And Christy's a great author, full of wit, and she just really writes great stories of family and friendship.
Now, is this part of her Peachtree Bluff series, or is this a standalone?
This is a standalone.
Okay.
But those Peachtree Bluff series, such a good series of books.
Awesome. That is Feels Like Falling by Christy Woodson Harvey and coming out April 28th, 2020. Thank you so much for coming on. This has been great.
Thank you so much. This has been really fun.
Before we go, tell everybody where they can find you online.
You can find me on Instagram at LittleLynzReads.
All right, y'all. I will be taking a break from the regular podcast for the month of December. I think a lot of podcasts do this. Times get hectic. I've got little kids. Christmas time's always crazy. But don't worry, if you are a patron, bonus episodes for my Patreon subscribers will not be taking a break during December. I'll be doing a 2019 wrap-up episode with Susie from Novel Visits, and that'll include some fun year-end superlative awards, we'll say, our thoughts on whether 2019's hyped books deserved their hype or not, and a bit about our own 2019 reading. And I'll be doing an episode breaking down the Goodreads Choice Award winners with Carla from Happiest When Reading. And every time the Goodreads Choice Award nominees and winners come out, I have so many thoughts and so many questions and sometimes a lot of confusion. So I'm really excited to be able to have a venue to hash it all out with Carla. So you can subscribe for $5 a month, and there's a link in the show notes and in my Instagram bio. Next week will be a full-length episode featuring Bird Level, who is a literary agent for United Talent Agency, and he is a friend of mine from college. I love going behind the scenes of various sides of the book business, so I'm super excited to get all the details about the agency side in this episode. Talk to you next week. Thanks so much for listening to Sarah's Bookshelves Live. You can find show notes with all the books mentioned in the episode, purchase links, and linked timestamps at www.sarahsbookshelves.com/podcast. And that's Sarah with an H. I'd love to hear your comments, feedback, and suggestions. You can find me online on my blog, sarahsbookshelves.com, on Twitter at sarahsshelves, on Instagram at sarahsbookshelves, and via email at sarahsbookshelves@gmail.com. And if you'd like to get exclusive bonus episodes of the podcast, you can support us on Patreon at www.patreon.com/sarahsbookshelves. And there's a link in the show notes and in my Instagram bio to my Patreon page. Thanks for listening.